Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Yvonne Pierre Show. Hear from people who have overcome obstacles, have inspirational stories to tell, or helpful information to share.
Our child, and we were to take her home. Remarkable advice for that era when many children with Down syndrome were put in institutions.
I was living for today, not caring about tomorrow.
The Yvonne Pierre Show,
living off with
a variety talk show whose only
all
mission
to the
is to empower you.
That was only gonna bring me to my knees. And I turned around and I remember this 48 years later of when I turned around and I said to her, no, I can do it. That kind of set the tone to her right from the beginning that even though I was in a chair, you know, I was still independent. I was still going to do things.
I believe that everything happens for a reason. We are vessels that have the option to allow God to use us.
Make a choice to break the generational curses on our life.
Thank you for tuning in. Now, here is your host, Yvonne Pierre.
Welcome, welcome, and thank you so much for tuning in. If you missed yesterday's show, please go to www.blogtalkradio.com/YPierre and listen to Project Unify. It was a very, very special interview, and I encourage you to take a listen. Special Olympics have been changing lives and attitudes for more than 45 years. The idea for Special Olympics began in the 1950s and early 1960s when Miss Eunice Kennedy Shriver saw how unjustly and unfair people with intellectual disabilities were treated. She also saw that many children with intellectual disabilities didn't even have a place to play and decided to take action. The goal was to learn what these children could do in sports and other activities and not dwell on what they cannot do. What started out as a background summer camp for people with intellectual disabilities grew into a global movement. Ms. Shriver's vision and drive for justice eventually grew into the Special Olympics movement. Before we get started, I wanted to take a moment to say how grateful I am for Ms. Shriver's vision, courage, and compassion, and believing in our children. May her soul be at peace knowing that her life's work continues to live on. Well done, Ms. Shriver. To talk about this movement, we have a very special guest, Kirsten Suto Seckler, and she's the Vice President of Branding and Communication of Special Olympics International. Most recently, she led a comprehensive Special Olympics brand alignment effort to improve the coherence and effectiveness of the Special Olympics brand in all 100 territories throughout the world where the movement operates, resulting in clear and easier implementation by grassroots leaders and easy public understanding of the organization. Kirsten joined the global headquarters of Special Olympics after serving 3 years working as a director of marketing and communication for Special Olympics Wisconsin, where she also was the public relations representative for Team USA at the 1999 Special Olympics World Summer Games. She has been with Special Olympics movement for more than 15 years. She is also an adjacent professor at Georgetown University for the Master of Professional Studies Sports Industry Management Program. Kirsten was an honoree of the 19 of the 2009 Washington Women and Public Relations Woman of the Year Award, and is a member of the National Public, the National Press Club, and the American Marketing Association, and the Association for Women in Sports and Media. And I'm very honored to have her on the show to talk about this movement. Kirsten, welcome to the show.
Oh, Yvonne, thanks for having me, and I'm honored to be a part of your show today.
As I said in the introduction, I was talking about Ms. Shriver, her vision and her and I commend her and for all that she's done, especially during a time when it was unheard of, and it would have been easier for her, you know, not to do it. You know, she wouldn't have, you know. So I absolutely love her courage to take a step to make a difference in the world of the special needs community. And you've been involved for 15 years with Special Olympics. What inspired you to be a part of this organization?
Well, so much really inspired me. I would say, though, you know, Eunice Kennedy Shriver was a true inspiration. I had the pleasure of working with her during my time here at Special Olympics. And, you know, her determination to bring social justice to a population of people who are often, you know, misunderstood and isolated, and you know, it just is such an inspiration. She just that courage, that determination, that spirit she had, and that drive to make a difference is so inspiring.
Yeah.
But I would
yeah.
say probably the most inspiring piece of being with Special Olympics has been the athletes themselves. Don't go a day without just being in awe of the accomplishments and the spirit and just the pure joy that our athletes get from our movement. And I love the fact that I'm part of an experience that helps change their life.
Yeah, yeah. And in addition to the sports aspect of it, Special Olympics has been very, very hands-on. Ms. Shriver herself has been from the time she started, have been very hands-on and instrumental in change for the special needs community. So they do a lot. Special Olympics does a lot to make a difference in the special needs community. Could you share with us some of the programs that have been developed?
Sure. Yeah, so just, you know, 45 years ago when the first Special Olympics games were held, we were sports for people with intellectual disability. And it was a pretty, you know, if you think back to that date, you know, it was right around when the Chicago riots were happening and civil rights unrest was happening in this country. Her brother had just been assassinated, Bobby Kennedy. Yet she was determined to show this country that people with intellectual disabilities could achieve. And so that grew into this incredible grassroots organization. You know, I kind of equate it to mushrooms, how mushrooms pop up. Special Olympics clubs started popping up all over the United States and all over the world, and it's just been amazing growth. But as we've grown in this organization, we found that sports isn't enough. You know, we are grounded and our foundation is sports, but as an organization, we actually do a lot in the area of healthcare, education, and community building. And you know, we're really doing a lot of programming that's very comprehensive to change the overall life of a person with special needs. So, you know, in the health area, we did some work. We actually, during one of our World Games in 1995, had held some health clinics for the athletes where we were reviewing their vision and they were getting their teeth checked, and, you know, it was supposed to be more of like a fun thing for them to get a little health education, and we actually found disturbing findings of, you know, huge health disparities. More than 50% of the athletes who were there needed eyeglasses or had undetected tooth decay, or were in need, and some were even sent directly to the hospital because they had severe issues that were happening. So we actually commissioned a study on this and found that there were huge health disparities, and so we created a program called Healthy Athletes. And so Special Olympics Healthy Athletes provides health screenings to Special Olympics athletes around the world. We've conducted over 1 million health screenings in the last decade. I can't even tell you how many eyeglasses we've given out for free thanks to the support of the Lions Club and Essilor and Safilo and other great sponsors who've come on board to help this. And, you know, it's just been tremendous. And that need goes untold. If you go around the world, you know, here in the United States, you know, we have challenges with health care for people, well, all people really, but people with intellectual disabilities especially. But you go around the world and there is no health care. And so our work is really groundbreaking, especially in places like Africa and Asia where, you know, the screenings that our athletes get is sometimes the only health care they've ever received.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's and then we have a family support network because we know that there's not services everywhere around the world. We know that there's, you know, unique challenges and that our family members face, the parents face, that siblings face. And so we have an entire family support network to provide that community of caring and support and for each of our family members who support their athletes. And those services, again, outside the United States where we're growing tremendously, have really been some of the only services that, you know, these families are being given. And so our work is really tremendous for families who just don't have any other place to look.
Wow. Wow. Special Olympics, speaking of programs, Special Olympics, along with Best Buddies, launched Spread the Word to End the Word, which I and many other parents I've seen online, you know, once a year, like during the month of March, posting flyers and spreading the word to end the word, and, you know, the T-shirts and all that, trying to get the word out to eliminate and get people to sign the pledge about the R word. But this is more than just a once-a-year event. Would you share with us the full scope of what the campaign is about?
Sure. The campaign, yeah. I mean, we're using a word to send a bigger message.
Yeah.
You know, this R word, this is so hurtful. It brings decades of hurt and prejudice and oppression that our athletes and people with intellectual disability have been facing. And the hardest part about the word is that people don't realize when they're saying it that it's hurtful.
Yeah.
A lot of people would never, you know, these days we find that a lot of people really don't go and call somebody with an intellectual disability the R word. But they'll do something silly. And then they'll call themselves or their friends the R word. But it's still hurtful. It represents so much in the areas of isolation, intolerance, injustice. And so we've done is really sent a message by using just a word, but that people need to wake up and see and learn and understand that there's an entire population of people who have incredible gifts and talents to share, and that that words do hurt, but that everything that the word represents hurts even more. And so we really see this campaign as it's not about banning language or you know, trying to censor anything. What we really see this as is an education opportunity for people to learn more about respect and how all people should be respected.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you said that, that, you know, everybody that says it don't, is not harm intended. I've experienced, I'm a mom that have a son with Down syndrome, and I've experienced, and I'm more conscious of it, how frequently the word is used. And I've had many conversations with different people about it who have said it, and I have pointed it out to friends that it may slip in the conversation, and I'll stop right there and kind of talk to them about it. And one of the things that I learned from my experience is that they really are not conscious of what they're saying. They're, and that's why it is important that we continue to spread the word, to end the word, to make people more conscious. And like you said, it's not about eliminating the word, but being more conscious of how offensive it could be, and just being more aware of our children, you know, on,
yeah,
and being more sensitive to it. So I wholeheartedly agree with what you said, and the campaign, I believe, is making a difference, and it gives also an opportunity for parents like me, and I know some parents are afraid to step out and say something, but it gives them an opportunity to say it, you know.
Yeah,
it also, you know.
Yeah, I love to hear. I love hearing that, that you feel like you have permission now, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, and that's really what we want, is we want to empower people to not be afraid to speak up and say, hey, that hurts, and here's why, and maybe you should learn more about my son, or you should learn more about my friend, because I think that's really what it is all about. And it has become more of a, you know, it started off, it's interesting, this whole campaign really started off years ago, and it's not too long ago, I guess it was 2008 when the movie Tropic Thunder came out, and
mm-hmm.
there was a scene in the movie where over a course of 4 minutes, the R word was used like 40 times or something like that, and they were,
yeah,
and they actually wanted to market the movie with a phrase, never go full retard, and we were astonished that they thought that that was fine. And
yeah,
so thanks to great leadership of all people in, you know, the disability community, and, you know, our chairman, Tim Shriver, and some youth who, and some of our athletes, you know, we started a protest. And then we said, you know what, enough is enough. This is really the
yeah.
last civil rights, you know, mission, really. If you think about it, it's the most pervasive word out there that's okay to say. But it's
yeah.
not okay.
Yeah.
And so what we've done is we've really looked at opportunities to, you know, educate people when they say the word, to, you know, especially people of influence, who may not realize, again, that they're hurting anybody, but we use it as a way to say, you know what, we just want you to understand that this is very offensive. And it's amazing how much change we have seen in this, and how much permission has happened for people to voice their concern. We're seeing more and more that our athletes are speaking up, and I think that's really powerful, because, you know, for so long people with intellectual disability, you know, haven't had a voice. And if this
yeah.
campaign will give our athletes and all people with intellectual disability and their families a voice, then great, we've done our job.
Yeah. And you have, I remember that, the movie too, and I remember Special Olympics, Tim Shriver, doing some interviews to talk about it, and he's been very vocal too, so I would like to say thanks to him, for continuing to carry the torch, for Ms. Shriver. And also, as far as the use of the R word and the permission to say, you know, for parents to step out and say, or those with intellectual disabilities feeling like giving this them an opportunity or permission to speak up about it is powerful. And I've also noticed that not just the public say it, but I've also heard other parents that have kids with special needs say the word and not be conscious of it. I've had a friend that have a child with cerebral palsy, And she didn't realize that when I spread the word, to end the word, and I was, you know, just talking about how it's offensive, just on my Facebook, privately, she said, "Yvonne, I never, you know, I've been saying this word." She said, "My daughter says it too, but I was never conscious that it was wrong as a parent," which kind of blew my mind. But she said she's more conscious of it, and she said she was going to stop her daughter from saying it because it was more, I guess it's when people become more desensitized to it, you know, or trying to be more desensitized to it so it don't hurt. But thank you for giving permission and to make people more conscious that is not okay to say those words or the jokes about those with intellectual disabilities. So the thing too that I realized is that especially with TV media, it's not an afterthought. You know, it's just said. But from my understanding, Special Olympics just partnered with ESPN as well as Disney. How will these partnerships make a difference in the special needs community?
Yeah, so we're really excited about our partnership with ESPN. ESPN has been really supporting Special Olympics since the beginning of ESPN. Being in Bristol, Connecticut, their employees are involved locally with Special Olympics. We have that great sports synergy. But one particular piece of work that we do that we're really proud of is something called Special Olympics Unified Sports. And Unified Sports is an opportunity for people with and without intellectual disabilities to be on the same playing team. And we're really excited about this program, and so is ESPN, and that's what they signed up to support. So they're the official global sponsor of our Unified Sports program, which is growing. And it's interesting because earlier this year, the Department of Education and their Department of Civil Rights had sent a letter to schools reminding schools that they needed to be providing sporting opportunities for people with disabilities. And and a suggestion within that letter says you should be doing unified sports programs. Look at programs where you can bring a whole school environment together and in inclusive opportunities. And so for us, we were really excited to hear that because we actually offer that. We have this unified sports program is phenomenal. We hear so many incredible stories of how friendships are made, how barriers are broke down. Even you talked about Project Unify yesterday, but that's part of the whole Project Unify school strategy is to not just empower youth to be leaders of respect, but to also use sports as a way to teach that. And we've had schools report to us, how because of this Project Unify strategy and unified sports, they're seeing more welcoming schools. There's bullying getting broken down. I mean, it's a really positive way to bring people together. Plus, with the growing obesity issues in the world, it gives everybody a chance to play. You don't have to be the best. You can just be your best. And we're really excited about that. And so we're thrilled that ESPN has come on board to support that.
Yeah, and speaking of Project Unify, Special Olympics brand is built on inclusion and acceptance of individuals with intellectual disabilities. Please take a moment to share with our listeners who do not understand why this is important, the importance of inclusion and acceptance.
Well, no one wants to be isolated. No one wants to be alone. There's nothing more painful than feeling alone. And for our athletes, for people with intellectual disabilities, they often feel alone. You go to school, and if you have a disability, kids may not understand, and so they may not say hi. They may not invite you to lunch or the birthday party, and that hurts because you feel alone. And so it's really, we don't want people to feel alone. We don't want them to feel isolated. We don't want them to be misunderstood. You know, one of the beauties of Mrs. Shriver is that, her sister Rosemary had intellectual disability. And while Rosemary, didn't learn as quickly as the other siblings, Rosemary was really good in sports. She was great at sailing. She was great at swimming. And Mrs. Shriver really enjoyed playing sports with her sister, and that was a common something that they shared.
Yeah.
And Mrs. Shriver knew from that her sister could achieve, and she wanted the rest of the world to understand that people with intellectual disability could achieve. And so she chose sports to be that platform because it worked for her and her sister. And so through that, and this concept of including others to be a part of that really has broken down so many misperceptions, so many barriers of understanding, and it's really just built communities of acceptance. And so we're hoping to spread that further and further because that's really what the world needs, right? There's so much division in the world, and we kind of cross those lines of division. We kind of say, you know what? We bring people together in ways that you never expect. And I had one person I heard once say, and it really stuck with me, is there's joy, and then there's Special Olympics joy. And so when you have that Special Olympics joy that comes with that acceptance and inclusion, it really is so fulfilling.
Yeah. Yeah. And what I love about the inclusion and it opens up the minds of not just parents and letting them feel a little more, I think for most parents, parents that I've talked to and for me as well, is getting our children involved with different things. I guess our fear is the acceptance part, like and being more socially involved. And I think this as well gives a lot of parents who do isolate their kids or at one point isolated their children, it gives them permission to get their children involved and as well as the Project Unify, it opens up the mind of those, their peers that don't have disabilities, it opens up their mind. For example, one of there was a kid that was playing with Zion, and he was very not understanding of Zion, how he play, and we just let Zion be himself. And so we sat the kid down and conversation, and one of the things that we said was, you're not in trouble, but we want to get a better understanding of how you feel about Zion, So we started this conversation with, family and friends, and just to open it up, where they'll feel more comfortable with coming and asking questions and to shed some light, some better understanding, because I think the gap is a lot of people, they fear what they don't understand. And one of the things that really helped me, because when I started off advocating, I was very angry because I couldn't understand why people saw my son in a different light, and I just felt unjust, and I started off angry. But what helped me understand better and be a little more calmer and compassionate toward those who don't understand was when my grandmother had Alzheimer's, and she was isolated, and I couldn't, and it just, a light bulb went off, and it was like, it's not that they don't love her, they're afraid. Is fear. So that made me change the way and be more compassionate for those who, you know, may treat Zion different and not be so quick to be angry, but see that as an opportunity to teach and to start a conversation with them so they can get a better understanding, not just for Zion, but a better understanding of people with intellectual disabilities.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And I think you've said it best. It's an opportunity to teach.
Yeah.
We all are learning every day. And any opportunity you can teach, and especially teach about people, is really powerful.
Teaching. After, you know, you've been on this journey for 15 years, what has been your greatest life lesson that you've experienced from this journey?
Gosh, that's a hard one because there's so many lessons I've learned. You know, I think there's actually two. One is don't judge a book by its cover. If you don't understand something, learn. But number two is that anything is possible. That people can achieve in so many different ways, and everybody has gifts and talents. Rather than, you know, looking at the world as those people with disabilities, is that we all have abilities, they're just different. And to me, that's probably been the best life lesson I've learned this journey.
Wow. And now how can how can the public get more involved with the incentives and all that Special Olympics is doing?
Well, first, people can come out and be a fan in the stands. Like I said, nothing's worse than being alone. And sometimes our stands are not full. We would love our stands to be full. So
yeah.
You can get involved by visiting SpecialOlympics.org. And find, you know, if you go on our website, you can find Special Olympics near you. And there's an event calendar. There's contact information for your local Special Olympics. And you know, that would be the first way, is just come out and be a fan and cheer for the athletes and learn from them. But then, you know, we are always looking for volunteers and coaches. As I mentioned, doctors can be involved, teachers can be involved. Everybody can be involved. Or come play Unified Sports. We have something for everyone, and that's something people don't realize about us, is it's not just about people with intellectual disabilities. Everyone can get something out of Special Olympics.
Yeah.
Joy, pride, dignity, fitness, empowerment, friendship, and inclusion and justice. And so we hope that people will come and seek us out and find a way to get involved.
So how can people find out more information? Where can people go?
SpecialOlympics.org.
Kirsten, thank you so much for all that you're doing to make a difference, and I wish you continued success and life lessons on your journey. Thank you so much and for joining us, and happy holidays and happy New Year's to you.
Oh, and thank you, Yvonne, and thank you for to sharing this message. So happy holidays.
Take care.
Bye.
I was meant to fly.
Oh. No matter who pushes me, I know I'm not gonna let you. I'm not gonna let you get me down. No, no, no.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. It has been an absolute pleasure, and I thank you for choosing this time to spend with me, your host, Yvonne Pierre. For more information about the show, how to be a guest, or to simply let me know what you think about today's show or previous shows, visit me at ypierre.com. That's www.ypierre.com. Remember to keep God first, know that you are blessed, and always stay true to yourself. I love you, God loves you, and thank you for listening.
Help me to blow.